Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight's a very exciting program because, in fact, we're starting a brand new book. If you've been listening to our radio program, you've noticed that we've been doing quite an extensive study in the book of 1 Timothy. And it's been a huge blessing, and if you have not listened to it, we invite you to visit our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, or you can find us on iTunes, where you can have access to all of our podcasts, or you can download the app, the Radio Redemption and Power app for iPhone or Android, so you can be able to have access to all of our podcasts on demand, hear them on the go, hear them in your car. Whenever you have your convenience, you're able to listen to the latest episode of Radio Redemption and Power. And now we're starting a new book. We're starting the book of 1 John. 1 John is a very, it's a very uplifting book. And I believe it's a book that is going to give us a lot of strength and hope in these dark times that we're facing ahead and currently doing so. So we hope that as you tune into this series and the study of 1 John, that it will bless your life. It will encourage you and strengthen you to continue to look to Jesus, the author of all faith, for he will finish that which he started. We thank you again for tuning in. Remember, you can write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com, or you can just hit the contact page on our website, redemptionandpower.com, or you can also send us a message through Facebook or Twitter. Send us your prayer requests, your testimonies, questions, or concerns. We're always happy to hear from our listeners. Or you can also contact us at 305-320-7727. That's 305-320-7727. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, tonight we want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you are doing and have done in our lives, Lord. Father, we are thankful for this. And Father, tonight we want to pray for your people, for your listeners, Lord. Pray for them, Lord, as so you could open up their hearts, Lord, and let them receive this wonderful message that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
Die is gain, your mind. King is better than life. You are Jesus, my joy. You are Jesus, my joy. You have called me to live a worthy life of the humble exalted Christ. Saw a strain ahead, forgetting what's behind. I'm a citizen of heaven. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. You're my reward, worth every.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power, and tonight we're starting a new book, the book of 1 John. It's a very short book, it has about five chapters, however, it's filled with great, great content. The writer of 1 John was the one that also wrote the book of Revelations and the Gospel of John. So we see that this apostle is an apostle who has experience and was able to receive great insight into who Christ is, into who Christ, what Christ came to do and what he will come to do. Because not only did he see Jesus when he walked on the earth as a man, when he suffered and he was crucified, not only was he a witness of his resurrection, but he's also a witness of Jesus Christ's second coming, when he comes to establish his kingdom on earth. Yes, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is coming back soon. He's coming to establish his kingdom. He's coming to destroy the kingdoms of this earth, evil that exists in this world, and he will establish a just kingdom. And that's why it's so important, brothers and sisters, as Christians, our hope does not come from politics. Our hope doesn't come from who's going to be the new president. Our hope comes from God. Our hope comes from Jesus. And that's the purpose of the scriptures, the purpose of the Bible, is to be a witness to Jesus Christ, who he is, what he did, and what he will come to do on his next coming. And that's why it's so important, brothers and sisters, for us to maintain in our hearts and in our minds that Jesus Christ can come back at any time. We are to live in a manner in which Christ is coming soon. Now, one of the unique things about the book of 1 John is that John tells us what are the reasons why he's writing this book to us, why he's writing this letter to the brethren. And he tells us throughout the book what is the purpose, and it allows us to be able to establish a little outline as to what we can encounter into this book. The very first thing he says in 1 John 1:4, he says, "And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." That your joy may be full. One of the purposes that John is writing this letter is so that our joy may be full. We as Christians, brothers and sisters, must possess joy. A Christian who does not have joy, there's something wrong with them. It doesn't mean that you're always smiling, and doesn't mean that you're not experiencing difficult times, but there's something that a Christian should have. There's a joy deep down inside their heart and mind that they must possess, that does not come from this world, that only comes from trusting in Jesus, that only comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We see that the first point, the first reason why this John has written this letter is so that our joy may be full. In 1 John 2:1, he writes, the purpose why he writes this book is so that you sin not. So that you sin not, and if any sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Right away, we see that one of the purposes why John is writing this letter is so that we would not live in sin. We as Christians are called with a high calling. We are not to be getting joy out of sin. We are not to live a life of sin. If we've been truly born again, then there must be new appetites inside of us, that desire to do what is right. And he says, if you do sin, then he writes for us to know that we have an advocate, that we have one who fights for us, that we have one who stands for us, Jesus Christ. He represents us before the Father. Then he says in 1 John 2:26, he says, "These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you." We're going to see that one of the things that John speaks about is antichrists, antichrist spirits. And he's one of the purposes of this book is to speak about those deceivers that are out there that will try to lead us astray as Christians. And then lastly, in 1 John 5:13, he says, "These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Here he encourages us, brothers and sisters, to continue to press forward in your faith in Jesus and to know that we have eternal life in Christ, that what we may be experiencing right now is temporary. But we have a rich life in Jesus. So do a quick recap. The purpose and why John writes this letter is, number one, for our joy to be full. Secondly, so that we sin not. And if we do sin, we know that we have an advocate. It is written in concerning deceivers that are out there. And for us to believe in the name of the Son of God, that we may know that we have eternal life. So we start tonight in 1 John 1:1. And it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." One of the interesting things we see that John begins his letter very similar to the way that he begins the Gospel. In the Gospel, in John 1:1, he writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And here he says, "That which was from the beginning." And that which was from the beginning, before anything else existed, before the earth was formed, before there were stars, before there was a sun and a moon, before there was anything else, there was the Word. There was God, the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. He has always been. He will always be. And this is so important, brothers and sisters, that the object of our faith is not some story that was concocted. It was not something that was started by man, but it was something that was here long before any man existed, long before any matter existed. There was God. There was Christ. The object of our faith, brothers and sisters, predates anything else in creation. And not only is it something that is intellectual, it's not something that is spiritual, it's not something, it's not some concept, but here John tells us, he says, that which was from the beginning, we have heard, we have seen with our own eyes, we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. What John is telling us here is that this is not a fairy tale. We've seen it with our own eyes. We've heard Jesus talking. We've seen Jesus. In fact, John was there in the transfiguration, in the event where Jesus Christ takes four of his disciples, and the Bible says that he's transformed before them, and they are able to see him with his garments shining and his face shining and bright. John was there. And with his hands, he was able to touch him. He was tangible. These are witnesses to Jesus walking on the earth, to his resurrection. One of the things that Paul says, he says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. There is truth. This is truth. This is real, brothers and sisters. And this is very important, because in the days that are to come, our taste, our faith will be tested. Circumstances and pressure and tribulation would really show us what is truly inside of us. But here John encourages us that which we have believed upon, long that was there long before anybody else was around, they have been witness to it. They have handled, they have heard, they have seen, they have looked upon. It is real, it is true. And the fact that the majority of the apostles of Jesus Christ were killed because of their profession is a witness to the truth that they saw Jesus, that this is real, this is true. One of the things we see that Jesus says, that those that listen to his words are likened to those who build their house upon the rock, that when the storms come, it will stand. Our faith in Christ will stand because it is built upon substance. See, we live in a day where the word faith is used quite often, and is often used in a way that is very vague. It's not some force. It's not like Star Wars, that you can use it to get whatever you want. But rather, faith is the vehicle in which we come to Christ, and he has the power. Faith is not faith unless it's built upon substance. And here John introduces his letter, and that our faith is built upon substance. He is the rock of our salvation.
Amen. You know, I love the book of 1 John as well, Pastor. And I want to just address one of the topics that my brother just mentioned, and he mentioned joy. And he said that every one of us should have joy being a Christian. And I don't know about you, but I get excited knowing that I have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I want to look at two scriptures here so that we could see that this is not something that only happens to Brother Lewis. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 8. And this is now when Jesus is going to Jerusalem to be crucified. And this is what the Word of God says. It says, most of the crowd spread their cloaks in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city were stirred, saying, who is this? See, what happens between Christian people and worldly people is that people who know God are joyful when they see him. And people of the world that don't know God, they can't tell the difference. And this is what happens to the Jews at that time. They didn't know that their Messiah was there with them. That's why they weren't joyful. Now watch this. And the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Now let's look at another scripture here that will identify this a little bit deeper here. And that's found in the book of Luke 19, starting in verse 38 through 43. And this is what it says. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now, remember what I told you about the Pharisees? Now, here it comes. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. See, they didn't know who he was. They had no idea. They didn't know that these people understood Jesus' identity. And they were just jumping for glory. I can only imagine, brothers and sisters, what it must feel like when you enter in through those gates, when you enter into the new Jerusalem, when you're able to encounter our Creator and our Lord. I mean, I could speak and identify a little bit of it in a relationship between a father and a son, and how it feels if you haven't seen your father for a long period of time. Perhaps he's in the army, he's a soldier, and he comes home and you see him. How glad you get to see your father. Imagine, this is greater than a worldly father. This is our heavenly Father. This is our Creator, our Lord, our Savior, who gave his life for us. Continuing on verse 40. I tell you, he replied, if they kept quiet, the stones will cry out. Listen, this is such a joy that he was saying, Jesus was telling the Pharisees, listen, if these people don't yell out because I'm coming here to go to the cross to save them, the stones, I believe that every tree, every rock, every piece of sand will just scream out because they're just in such a joy that this is happening. Continue verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Why did he weep? He wept because the people that he came for, the ones that he came to save, didn't know him. And that comes to the second part of what Brother Javer said, our advocate. The only one that will be able to understand that would be somebody that's perhaps been in jail or in debt to somebody and has received pardon, perhaps for something that they owe. or for a debt that they had to pay to society. But when you've been locked up for 30 and 40 years and they open those gates and say, listen, the judge had leniency on you and you're free now. Those people jump out of that jail. When you owe $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, and somebody out of their heart says, listen, I'm going to pay your debt. How do you feel? This is what Jesus Christ did for us. He set us free, brothers and sisters, from all our debt. He set us free from bondage, from slavery, and he made us his sons and daughters.
Amen. One of the phrases that we see that John uses quite often, he uses in the Gospel of John, he uses in the letter, in the Epistle of John, and he also uses it in the book of Revelation, is the Word of God as one of the titles of Jesus Christ. And it's a very important word because it describes a lot about the mission that Jesus Christ came to accomplish. And when we think about what is a word, and a word is really a way to be able to communicate a thought, to communicate something that is on our minds, something that we want to express. And that's very closely to what we see that Jesus comes, part of the mission that Jesus comes to fulfill in coming to express and show who the Father is. We see that when Jesus Christ is asked, show us the Father, he says, those who have seen him have seen the Father. And the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, tells us that he is the representation. In Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of his glory, speaking of the representation of the Son of the Father, and he says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Speaking, Jesus is the express image of the Father. And what that means is that he is what the Father looks like. And he came to show us who the Father is and what is his desire. So that when we want to know how the Father is, his character, his thoughts and his desires, we look at Jesus. We look that Jesus came to save that which was lost. And that shows us the heart of the Father, that he does not desire for people to go and perish in hell, but that men repent. He desires to save people. And this is something so important, brothers and sisters, because we have two camps in the Christian world. We have, on one hand, we have Christians that all they preach is tolerance, and they lose the fact that Jesus and that God will also judge men one day. And then we also have, on the other side, on the other extreme, we have men that all they desire is to see people go to hell. And none of them is the heart of the Father. On one hand, Jesus comes to save that which was lost. And on the other hand, he will also stand in judgment. And that judgment that day will come, will all have to stand before Jesus Christ, who will judge us individually. So if we want to know what the Father looks like, we go to the Word, who is the expression of the Father, who shows us, who comes to speak to us. In fact, that's what Hebrews says. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. What is the writer of Hebrews saying? He's saying that, yeah, there was a time where God spoke through the prophets in many ways, but now he's spoken to us through his Son, through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we get to see the Father's heart and his ministry. When we study Jesus throughout the Gospels, and we see that he's totally the opposite of what religion expected him to be. Those who were very religious in that time were very surprised to see that the Messiah who had been promised in the Scriptures was very different than what they expected. And this is why we have to examine ourselves too, brothers and sisters. look to Jesus for who he is, not for what people tell us that he is. We need to get into the Word and study it ourselves. And let the Holy Spirit show us and demonstrate who Jesus really is. Because in knowing Jesus, we know the Father. Don't settle for some second-hand approach to knowing God. We can know him. We can come to Jesus ourselves. And he will take us to the Father. Jesus is the Word. And it says, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What's interesting is that John here speaks about eternal life in a way that personifies it. And we see that he's still on the same point in speaking about Christ. He says, declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. To them was manifested eternal life. Why? Because Jesus is eternal life. If you recall in the study of 1 Timothy, one of the things that Paul says, he says that Jesus Christ, whom alone has immortality, he is eternal life. And the only way we can have eternal life is that if we are in him and that he is in us. Jesus is eternal life. See, one of the mistakes that we often make when we are witnessing to others is that we make emphasis more on being saved because so that you won't go to hell. And the emphasis of being saved is just escaping torment and fire rather than God. And here we see that John is pointing us to Christ, and he's telling us he is the eternal life. And we should desire to have eternal life, not just to save us from hell, but that so we may know God, so that we may experience living, which is walking with him, which is him abiding in us and us abiding in him. That is what we're created for. To have a relationship. To have intimacy with God. Jesus is the eternal life.
Amen. I like the way it says it here. It says the word of life. I would like you to turn to John 1:1. And this is what the word of God says. And I don't understand why many people struggle with these verses, because it's plain and clear. But there are people out there that read this and are still confused. So let me just skip. I'm not going to read the whole thing for time's sake, but I'm going to skip around. It starts in verse 1, and it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What is it so hard to understand about that? He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of mankind. What is the light of mankind? That is the salvation for all humanity that Pastor Javer was just talking about. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, I'm going to jump to verse 9 of John 1. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world, and this is what I was talking about before. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. See, there are people that don't recognize who Jesus is, brothers and sisters, and that's pretty sad. He came to that which was his own. That's talking about the Jews. But his own did not recognize him. Yet to all who did receive him, and that's to us, to those who believed in his name, He gave the right to become children of God. Now, when John here, speaking in 1 John verse 2, the life appeared, John recognized who Jesus was. We have seen it, and we testify to it. You know what this is, brothers and sisters? This is a personal testimony. That's why John was so happy with joy. And this is what why Pastor Javer was talking about joy. He came in contact with Jesus Christ. And we proclaim this. A proclamation is something that, you know, this is something that you're saying. That, listen, I don't know, brothers and sisters, if you ever have ever encountered something special and you want to reveal it to somebody. Perhaps you were sick, you had a sickness, and God healed you, and you just want to run and tell your family. Listen, one of the things that happened to me when I became a Christian, it was like an activation. I don't know how to explain it. It was just such a joy that it's something that you just don't want to keep within you. You know, it's something that you want to share with people. So the first thing I did, I ran to my father's house and I tried to save my father and I tried to save my mother and I tried to save my sister and my brother and my whole family and my friends. And, you know, I just wanted to let everybody know of the wonderful joy, the wonderful experience that I had, you know, meeting Jesus in my life. Not only did I do that, I went to a public school and I started taking out tracts and telling people about Jesus. This is what the joy of the Lord is all about. And this is what our brother John is proclaiming here. Listen, I came in contact with the Lord, right? And now watch this. To you, okay, let me read that again. The life appeared, we have seen it, and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life. When John saw Jesus crucified on the cross in Calvary, and when Jesus appeared to them, that must have been something that blew his mind, that he had to run out and tell everybody about. I know I would have. So I could only imagine what's going on here, you know, or what John is trying to express here. There's something very deep here, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. This is personal testimony, brothers and sisters. This is not something that he read in a book. This is not something that's handed to him by other people. This is an encounter between Brother John and the Savior of the world.
Amen. And this is our Brother John writing to us. And, you know, sometimes we don't think about it like that. That this is our brother. You know, we think about it and we're like, wow, the Apostle John and Apostle Paul and all these great men of the faith. Yet what connects us to the time that where they were living and walking on this earth is Jesus Christ. Is looking and putting our faith upon him. And that's the point. And look at what he says in verse 3. He says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. You see that? He keeps emphasizing, we've heard this. We've seen it. We received it. We participated in it. And that's why this is such an encouraging letter. This is at a time where the Apostle John was the last apostle that was alive. And he was encouraging the churches at that time. And he's reminding them of this truth, of the truth that they had received. And he says, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That word fellowship is such an important word, such an important practice in these last days. The word koinonia, it's also the word that's also translated communion. Communion, it's a intimate time. It's a connection that we have, one with another, and that connection we have with God. And we see that the Church of Jesus Christ is not only about individuals, but it's also about the body coming together. One of the purposes of Christ coming is to take out a people for his name. A group of people that, although they may be different in race, nationality, culture, whatever different backgrounds from which we come from, but yet we can be united as one in Jesus Christ. When we read about in the book of Revelations, when John, he says a large number, an innumerable number of people of all different nations and of all different of different countries in the world. He sees them all gathered together, people that are normally would be very different from each other, but yet they're united in Christ. And it's so important in these last days, because we're seeing that in these last days there's such a division among races. We're seeing that, you know, what's going on with a lot of this instigated racial conflicts in the United States. And what's going to bring us together is not politicians, it's Christ. Only in Christ can you have such different people that come from such different backgrounds be able to come together. That's one of the beautiful things about the Church of Jesus Christ. And often one of the troubles is that we come into the church and we expect others to be like us. But our common bond is not our personalities. It's not the things that we like. It's not the type of music that we like to listen to. It's Christ. He is our bond. He is what brings us together. And it's such a wonderful experience when you come across another believer that you know just loves Jesus. And because you love Jesus, there's this instant connection that you have with them because of your mutual love for Christ. And he says here, it's not only this fellowship is not only with Christians, but this is the connection that brings us to the Father and with Jesus Christ. We're connected as one body. And we must walk together in these last days. We must band together as Christians. I know I mentioned this before, and I think it's because it's such a we see that there's such a strong emphasis in Scripture that we have to emphasize it. The importance of being part of a local fellowship. Not just one that is over the internet, not one that that we just speak over different forms of multimedia. I know that it's very difficult nowadays to find a faithful church, but God can unite us with believers. There's pockets of believers all over the United States, all over the world. And if we pray, I know it is God's will for us to be in fellowship. He will join other believers together to encourage one another. That's why he says, where there are two or three in my name, I am there. Two or three. He doesn't say where there's one. Even though where there's one, God is still with that individual, but he's emphasizing the point of communion and fellowship and how we need one another. And that our fellowship is just not with each other, but it's a special bond that we have with together and with God and with Jesus.
Amen. Fellowship. Let's take a look at what the dictionary says about fellowship. Community of interest, actively feeling or experience the state of being a fellow or an associate, a company of equals or friends. Now, let me try to explain fellowship. Fellowship is not something that you knowing somebody and you hanging out with them. Fellowship has to do with agreeing. It has to do with feelings, and it has to do with an experience. And when we look here at the book of John, John experienced Jesus Christ. He had feelings toward him. This is more than just knowing somebody. It's being in a relationship. That person becomes part of your family. And that person cares about you. The problem is today that a lot of people hang out with a lot of people. But those people don't care about your interests. People don't care what happens to you. They don't even care about your salvation. That's why they take you to clubs to do drugs. Because they don't care about you. If you die, or if you get sick, or if you fall, if you crash, if you get stopped by the police, There's no interest. There's no feeling. There's no relationship. But somebody that's part of your family will fight for you, will protect you. Somebody that cares about you will do whatever he has to do in order to pull you out. And this is why John is so excited about Jesus, because now he wants to go to his brothers, his sisters, his friends, and say, look, I have found the Messiah. This is our salvation. This is our healer. This is our friend. And it's sad to say that, brothers and sisters, this is not what's happening in many churches today. This is not what's happening, like my brother Javer just mentioned, in our community today. And a lot of people think that this is something that has to do with a racial issue. And they don't understand that the master of deception and the master of causing conflict and problems and division is Satan. He started that when he was an angel in heaven. And he did the same thing with Adam and Eve. He tried to do the same thing with Jesus. He did it with Judas, which turned Jesus in. And then later on, he did it with Jesus' own people, the Jews, who took Christ to get crucified. They didn't know him. They had no relationship. They had no feelings toward him. There was no fellowship. But John did have a fellowship with Christ, and so should we.
Now, this word fellowship is the Greek word koinonia. What's interesting about this word, it's not only translated fellowship, but it's also translated communion. And one of the important parts of fellowship in Christians is taking part of communion. What is communion? The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:16, he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. One of the shows that we did quite a bit ago, we did it on the Lord's Supper, and we explained how there's an important aspect of the Lord's Supper that not only shows the union that we have one with each other, but how we all together are united to Christ. And it's so important for us to partake of that commemoration of Christ's victory at the cross, of the new covenant in which we're partakers of. And we do so, we partake of the Lord's Supper as one, as a group of people that come together and they partake as one body of that one body. And it's such an important aspect of coming together as Christians. And that's why it's so important to be part of a fellowship, to have a time when we'll all come together and remember what Christ did for us and give thanks and partake of the elements, partake of the wine and the bread that commemorate our Savior's victory. Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. In these last days, it's going to be so critical that we partake in a fellowship, in a group of believers that are seeking the Lord. It doesn't have to be a formal congregation, but just to come together to pray and to seek the Lord and to read the scriptures and to encourage one another. Especially as the scripture says, as the day approaches, as the day has become darker, we need to come together in fellowship and strengthen one another and remind each other, just like John is reminding us here, that this is real. But this is this foundation of where our faith is built upon is an eternal one, is an everlasting one. And Jesus said, the heavens and the earth will pass, but his word will never pass. And I encourage you tonight, as John says in 1 John 1:4, these things we write to you that your joy may be full, that our joy may be full in these days. knowing that soon we'll be close, we'll be with our Lord, with our Savior, with the one who did not hold anything back, but gave his life entirely for us.
I like the way it's said in Philippians 1:3. I thank my God every time I remember you. And here, Paul's talking about his fellow brothers and sisters. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Partnership. This is what we are. We are brothers and sisters for Christ Jesus. We stand together in good and bad. Father God, tonight, I want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for being the light of this world. Thank you for leaving heaven, Lord, and coming down to earth to save me and save my brothers and sisters, Lord, and save the world, Lord, from condemnation, Lord. Father God, I rejoice with my brothers here today and those that are listening to this program tonight, as our brother John rejoiced, knowing that one day we will see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We thank you for tuning in tonight. Remember, you can visit us at our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. You can also contact us via the contact button or write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com or call us at 305-320-7727. Thank you for tuning in tonight. We pray that the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Creation testifies.